while we remain in an attitude of worship. At the beginning of the year, first day of the year, I just, my quiet time, I just became aware of Malachi chapter 4, the last chapter of the Old Testament. And then just words of Jesus really touched me. He says, "For those who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in its wings. And you will be led out like stall-fed calves, frolicking playfully in the fields." What a picture for the year. For those who devote themselves to me, for those who revere my name, for those who orientate their life according to my principles and in relationship with me, God says, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in its wings. And you'll be led out like a stall-fed calf, not going out to pasture, but carefree, playing, frolicking in the fields. So, Father, we pray that this year, that you'll grant us the spirit of the fear of the Lord, that we may orientate our lives according to you, God, that we may live in intimacy with you, friendship with you, so that we'll see your healing and your justice come to our nation, to our families, to our schools, to our places of work, to our economy. We pray, God, that healing, the Son of Righteousness, will arise with healing in its wings over our city and over our land, and that we will be led out like carefree calves, playing in the fields, confident that God is watching over us. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye, donkey. Can we thank the worship team? Bye, bye, donkey. And the guys at the back as well. Ferdi, kom maar die ligte aan sit asseblief. I said the Son of Righteousness will arise with light. Yeah, it's like a... I am so excited about Kyle and Christine. For those who are seated far, far at the back, there's still many spaces, about 8 spaces, 10 spaces here in front. See you by welcome to Kyle and Christine. Are you ready? Ek maar vorentoe kom. Dankie. I've known Christine and her family for a few years, and then she married this handsome man who lived in the southern suburbs, but they relocated this side after having this beautiful baby. And they're here to dedicate her to God. And as they dedicate Isabella to God, Johannes is here in your path. Okay. As they dedicate Isabella to God, I want you to remember yourself, that you were also once very small and vulnerable and beautiful, like this little Isabella. And I want you to remember that there was a day in which your parents probably also came forward into church and dedicated you to God, saying that, "God, we recognize that this baby is a spirit that you created in this world that will never, ever cease to exist. So therefore, God, we ask for grace as we dedicate it to you. And we ask for grace, God, that you will give us wisdom, strength, and providence in everything, that she may grow to love God, fear God, and be a blessing to this world." It's a beautiful thing. And for those of your parents, if you just remember the vow that you made one day to your for your children to God, it will be amazing. So Kyle, Christine, 3 questions we're going to ask you. Firstly, do you recognize that Isabella is a gift from God entrusted to you?
Yes.
Do you promise that you will raise her in the fear and the love of God?
Yes.
And the third part of your vow, do you recognize that you need help from God and from the family and the congregation sitting in front of you? What do you say? Amen. It's amazing. The third time, if you, those who come for their third time, say that before they say anything else. Yes, we need help. I want to ask Margriet just to come and stand forward. Carl, Christine, do you want to say something, or first just want to allow you to pray a prayer of blessing over your own daughter, and then we'll pray as a congregation.
Hi, everyone. I just have a very short prayer. I just ask we all bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, on this joyous occasion, we stand as grateful parents, hearts overflowing with gratitude and joy, as we come before you and your congregation to dedicate the precious gift of life to your loving care. She bears the name Isabella, meaning God is my oath, or God is my promise. And we pray this to always be a reminder of your faithfulness in our lives. We declare that she is a precious gift from you, creatively and wonderfully made. We give thanks for the precious gift of her life. May she always be surrounded by your angels, and may your peace and joy always dwell within her heart. We pray that she comes to know you intimately, and that her life be a testimony to your grace and mercy. May she grow to be a woman of integrity, reflecting the character of Christ in all that she does. May she grow in wisdom, kindness, and love. We pray for your blessings upon her, for health, joy, and a heart that seeks after you. May her life bring glory to your name through a firm foundation in Christ, and may she find strength and comfort in your unwavering presence. We pray for strength, wisdom, and oodles of grace as her parents, that we may lead by her by example and nurture her in the knowledge of your love as we navigate the challenges of parenthood. Grant us the wisdom to be examples of faith, hope, and love in her life. Lord, we pray for your guidance and protection over her life. We pray that she walks in the purpose you have ordained for her, bringing glory to your name in all that she does. We pray for our dedication as a family to serving you and following your will. We pray that our home will be a sanctuary of love, faith, warmth, and prayer. Lord, trusting in your unfailing love, we commit this precious soul to your care and surrender her future into your hands, knowing that your plans for her are good. May she fulfill the destiny you have designed for her, and may she be a blessing to those around her in your holy name. We thank you for the precious gift of her life. We thank you for the joy and love she has brought to our home. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being her parents. We commit to loving and cherishing her, seeking your guidance in every step of her exciting future. May your love and grace be the foundation of her life, and like with our marriage, may you remain at the center of our family, always. Amen.
It's verschrikkelijk mooi. It's really beautiful. We're going to pray a prayer of blessing, and if you feel comfortable to stretch out your hand as a sign of blessing, just to pray that God's goodness will come over.
Father God, we want to thank you for Isabella this morning, God. And as I was talking to her earlier and just praying about her, Father God, I just sense that you said that she's one that will be an encourager, that her eyes will be light and that she will be a half full glass type of person, Father God. And we ask that you will protect that, Father God, that she will know you, that she will know you as the good God, the giver of life, Father God, and that the way that she interacts with people will be from that source, Lord, that you will be the one that speaks life and that life will come through you into people's lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father, just agree with that prayer. God, in Jesus' name, may she recognize from a young age the favor of the Lord on her life. God, that your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out. God, I thank you that your cup runs over, that goodness and mercy follows her all the days of her life. And Father, we pray for Kyle and for Christine. I pray, God, that their mouths will overflow with goodness, with praise, with whatever is admirable and honoring. God, I pray in Jesus' name that she will grow up in a life and a house that is a fountain of hope and goodness. In Jesus' name, we thank you for a generous heart. We thank you for a generous spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Kom ons gee sommer vir hulle 'n klap. Julle is regtig pragtig. Dankie. Regtig dankie. Thanks, Carl. Thanks, Carl. Carl, one day I'll also have a beard like that. One day. My wife says no. Dankie. So, to your seats, you will find, can I just check, we really worked at the end of last year quite hard to make sure that everyone in our congregation doesn't miss something where we're going to as a church. So we just received the publication of our first 6 months of devotionals for the year. So there's one for every Sunday. It's the guideline of our services. This year, if you want to ask me what is the heart that I want to encourage and want to leave, what is the layer in our building that we want to build this year if we are living stones? What is the one thing that we want to cement? It's that scripture in Jeremiah chapter 9, 23 and 24. It says that for those who fear my name, and yeah, this is Ani and Malachi too, no? It says that let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not a strong man boast in his strength. Let not the wealthy man boast in his riches. But let him boast in this, that he knows me and understands my heart, my ways, that I'm a God of justice, compassion, and mercy. So what do we want to grow in this year? The first 6 months is that we really know God. We know God. It's amazing. Until I read it a few years ago, I was shocked evaluating my own devotional prayer life. But, you know, as a practical, charismatic, evangelistic community, you know, we are so keen to give me the 5 tips of a good marriage. Give me 7 principles of godly parenting. Give me the wisdom on how to obtain my prayers. Give me 5 tips of praying powerfully. You know, it's like many of the books that you will find is that, well, God didn't write the Bible to give us a few tips to have a prosperous life, but that we may know him and walk with him. So you will open your devotional and you'll see that for the first 6 months, we're going to look 2 months, January, February, into knowing God the Father and who am I in him? How do I relate to him? In March and April, over the Easter time, we're going to look at the book of Hebrews and read about Jesus. Who is Jesus? And how do I relate to him? And then we're going to look 2 months into the book of Corinthians 1 and 2. And we're going to find out who is the Holy Spirit and how do I relate to God, the Holy Spirit? Who am I in him? And the second part of the year, we're going to devote to participating with the Father in his kingdom, Jesus in his redemption, and the Holy Spirit in the witness of the church. So you'll find that this is the devotion. Only one devotion for the week. Our Sunday sermons will follow this theme. You won't miss a thing if you have to go up to Joburg for work, or if you have to go to Mom for Mother's Day, or perhaps go away for Father's Day for yourself. You know, if you don't miss a service, you'll not miss anything. But you'll see that the questions are really personal. It's about your life. I don't want you to fill your heads. I'm trusting God to fill your hearts. And then you'll see that small group leaders, this is Melissa's big celebration. First 6 months of devotional questions are in your books. Take this along. It's ready. You'll be invited to write your own psalms. You'll be invited to write your own prayers. You'll be invited to review your life as you go through the book for this year. So thank you so much for the hard work that went into this. And I want you to open up. You're welcome to open up. If you don't want to, if you want to just listen this morning, you're welcome. But we're going to second session this week. So we're in the second Sunday. And we're going to look at knowing God, the Father, the love of the Father. That the Father really loves me. Even as I was meditating on this for the past 2 weeks, I can tell you that it just stays with me, evaluating the last 2 years of my life. If you want to ask me, what is the big thing that happened to me in the last 2 years? It's a 4-year journey, but the last 2 years especially, is I had a few moments with God as the Father poured out his love into me. He just revealed his love to me. If you would ask me as a 6-year-old boy, does Jesus love me? I'm going to say, yes, the Bible tells me so. But as a man who's 46 this year, 47, I'm going to say, I know Jesus loves me. I know the Father loves me because he told me so. Not because the Bible said so, but because I had encounters with the living God. And this is my prayer for you today and in the next week as we journey into this. So Father, as we open your word, we, in this most well-known text in the Bible, we pray that Holy Spirit, you will reveal the love of the Father to us and remind us of those moments that we had with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. John 3. For God so loved the world, Jesus said to Nicodemus, so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Because God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Such a well-known text. But as I meditated the last few weeks, it's amazing to me, if you can just show the next slide, Mackie. Even if, you know, we are fallen creatures, and fathers are fallen men. Infallible. I love what Wim Maynard told me a few years ago, and it stays with me because it is so true. He said that every one of us if we evaluate our life, we have two types of problems. We have mother wounds and father wounds. And by the grace of God, we grow up to be mothers and fathers ourselves. And it's with much humility that we recognize that the judgment we bestow upwards is the grace we're going to ask from those following us. You know, we recognize that we are those parents. But what I thought about is even in our fallenness, there's so much of God the Father and His love that we know because we observe fathers. Because even in our fallen state, there is so much of God's redemptive love that still shines through the fathers. I found these four few things as I read and studied. It's amazing. Heath and Anna Alexander, there's a story about this dad a few years ago who grew up in, and you can imagine, just imagine the father who recognizes that his daughter is really sick and that she has a kidney disease that is fatal and she's dying and she needs another kidney. And as they're struggling to find a kidney donor, obviously the dad and the mom were the first ones to say, listen, can you do a bone marrow test on me? Can you check whether I'm a compatible donor? Can I give my kidney? And this is the words of Heath Alexander. He said, listen, the moment that I realized when they told me that my kidney is a match and that I can give my kidney to my daughter, it was the greatest joy and the greatest relief that I found ever. How beautiful. How beautiful. That there's something about compassion, the compassion of God the Father that we can see in Heath that all of us can identify with. None of us would want to live with two kidneys happily, healthily if you see your child dying. Not any parent. A parent's joy is eternally bound up in the joy of their child. There's no parent that can enjoy life if they know that my child is not well. We are only as happy as our children are. We are only as happy as our children are. It's a beautiful gift. And this is something that we can see of God just in our world. Secondly, it's the story of Nick and Judah, his son. He's a blogger, and he writes at, you'll find his Abide and Seek. Him and his wife has a blog site. They write Christian encouraging ministry. And he just wrote the story. It's a picture of a girl and a dad there, but Nick is a man and Judah is a boy. And just weeks after his first boy was born, he wrote the story and he said, listen, I felt as though I will do anything for my son. He's only 2 weeks old. And I would give everything to my son to see that he flourishes. And that's the heart of even an average dad lives like that. Even an average dad. I mean, my mom, I have a story which I remembered just in the week. It's my mom, but it has something about God's heart in it. I remember that as I left school, 18 years old, just during after the matric exams, still waiting for my results, but I had a bursary through the Air Force and was going to join the Air Force I didn't know it's going to be 10 and a half years, but I was there for 10 and a half years. But as this 18-year-old boy finished school, he had a list of stuff that mom has to buy to send me to the Air Force, you know? And one of the things was I was supposed to have a nice jacket, a dinner jacket, you know? It's officer, you have to have a dinner jacket. And I remember that obviously I'd grown out of mine and we don't really wear that much as a boy, but I didn't really. So my mom took me and Conrad, he went to the Navy, I went to the Air Force. And I remember going and we went shopping and my eye caught this one jacket, flippin' amazing tweed jacket, a Gucci jacket. It's an expensive one. So it's four times as expensive as all the other jackets there, and it is a beautiful jacket. And I'm like, yes, that's moi. And I saw the price, and my mom saw the price, and, you know, mom did a half-day secretarial job at those times, so money wasn't in abundance. We never lacked, but we never had abundance. Yeah? We never lacked anything, but it's not as though there was spare money lying somewhere to be burnt. And she just checked me out and looked at me, and, you know, without a doubt, she just took that jacket and said, do you want this one? And I knew that she couldn't afford it. And yet she gave it to me. It's something about the heart of God, the heart of a parent. I want to give you the best. Even if it's going to cost me something. Something about the generosity of a dad. You know, and something about a dad there. I found this, some of you might have seen this, but in 2012, this Bill and Chris Davis their stories actually filled the internet a lot, because this is a dad, and that's Chris next to him. He has severe autism. You can actually follow the video series there. It's beautiful. About this dad, they got the news quite soon that Chris has severe developmental issues, severe autism. And in the videos, this is obviously, he was 17 at that time. And then later, so he's older now. It was in 2012, he was about 17 years old in high school. But how this father reorientated his whole life, because he wanted to get the best treatment and help for his own son. And they learned everything. They went to all the universities. They went to the most profound, most, they read all the research. They set up a school for him in their home and later accommodated many other parents with the same thing. And he loved it. And the quote that I love the most, he wrote a book that you can actually find online as well. But this quote is so beautiful to me. He said, "I never thought of him as poor, as a broken human being that we need to cure, you know. I never thought of him as someone who is a problem or someone who needs to be cured." He says, "You know, he's not sick. It's just my son, and I'm going to bless him." And something about this father, because it was actually a few years that they didn't sleep. They had to tag. Mom and dad had to tag because he was sick and he had a severe autism. And there's something beautiful that you can catch in that story about the heart of a father who doesn't want to treat you as a sick person, but he loves you because you're his child, as you are. Beautiful. I found this. I'm going to get that back to the Bible now. I just want to lay a foundation. This is a beautiful story. Peter Mutabazi last year went quite viral, the news and the articles of him in Carolina. So he's a man that grew up in Ghana, in Kampala, and he fled his own home because of the abuse that was happening in his own house. So he fled as a young high school learner. He fled the school, and he fell into one of the streets and fell into an orphanage. Someone sponsored him for school. Someone sponsored him for varsity. Someone sponsored him for his master's degree, and then he got an amazing invitation to go and study in England, doing some doctoral research, and now he lives in America. And because he was in the foster system for so long in Ghana, when someone asked in church, "Listen, can you help us? We need a foster parent for a weekend." He said, "Well, of course," because he knows what it is to don't have a home. So, but as Anthony, when he was 11, the tall one there, came into his house the one day, into this unmarried man's house, and he said to him, he said he came in at 3 o'clock in the morning, wearing his Batman pajamas, secondhand hand-me-downs, with a blanket and some flip-flops, and a bag which just had basically underpants and one set of clothing in it. He came in because his parents just left him at the hospital. He came into the house. It was 3 a.m. in the morning, and Anthony looked at Peter and he said, "Can I call you Dad?" And Peter's like, whoa, no. It's like, "You're here for the weekend. I will look after you. I'll care for you, but you're only here for the weekend." And Anthony says, "No, they told me I'm 11 now. I'm old enough to choose my own dad. I choose you." And Peter said, "Listen, let's just get to bed and sleep." But he never left his house. Eventually, he adopted him as his own son. He took on his own surname. And a few years later, he adopted two other children that came into fostering care. And he said, "Oh, well, we have a family already. That looks weird. Come and join the family." And he says something that's about that the gift that he loves giving is the fact that he gives the gift of adoption, of security. "I'm here for you always. You are mine. You have a home to belong." And I read that. Obviously, Peter's a Christian. But as I read that, I go like, this is something in our fallen nature that I can see of the heart of God. This is something beautiful that I can see in the heart of God. And the last one, again, Nick and Judah in his blog site, he said, the moment that, because his wife had a cesarean section, he did kangaroo care, and I remember that moment with Nathan as well. This is why this moved me so beautifully. He says, the moment I held Judah in my arms for the first time, he says, the love that I felt could not be described. This little thing has done nothing to deserve love. But something in me is moved to love and to care and to give, to protect this little thing for the rest of his life. And he says, so the first time that I think I understand something of the love of God, what God feels for me, what God feels for us. And I remember becoming a dad, it was probably the most healing season in my life, those first few years. Over the years, just figuring out, wow, this is what I feel on the inside. I'm made in the image of God. I think I understand something about God's love. So just in a mirror, how can I read this text about God loving the world so much that he gave his son to redeem, to save, not to condemn, but to save? As I read that, I saw, and maybe the next slide, thanks, Mackie, that what I just showed you up there is something about compassion that we can read there in that text. But God's compassion that he feels for us. Why did God send his son into the world? Because he was moved with compassion. Because like Heath, feeling for his daughter, for Anna, he wanted to do anything he can. He felt the pain of a broken and a lost world. And he said, I'm going to do something about this. I feel your pain. I understand your pain. I understand the crisis that you're going through. The joy of a parent is forever linked to the wellness of his or her child. Something about God's generosity, compassion flowing over into kindness and generosity, love made visible. I will do anything because I want to love you. Thirdly, it's just something about unconditional love. The Father loves us. He loves us, not just because, not when we do good. He loves us because he sees we dust. Psalm 103, né? Beautiful text. Psalm 103 says, as a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for us because he knows we're perfect, because he knows we're dust. He knows we're just dust. We're fallible. That's why he loves us. It's amazing. The Father loves us more when we go through a tough time, when we go through hardship, when there's pain in our life. He's drawn to us even more. We sin abound, grace abounds even more. Unconditional love, the steadfast bond of adoption between a father and a child. You are mine, I will care for you forever, Peter said to his son Anthony. And then the same picture of delight. So let's read the text again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. It's amazing. When we say that God loves me, this is what we mean, Mackie, in the next slide. We mean that the Father's love is compassionate towards us. I had a moment last year. I told you that the last 2 years was beautiful for me in this regard. I had a moment last year. We went on a weekend retreat, silent retreat, for a few days. And I remember being away, and God just invited me to read the book of John. And I spent time in silence reading the book of John, taking long jogs in the morning, but then coming back and reading the book of John over and over. And the things that caught me is the invitation of dwelling with, living with. It's a theme in the book of John. I knew it when I studied John long ago. But it's a theme, the invitation of dwelling with, staying with, remaining with, being with, you know, the drawn towards him. And then as I read it, I came to chapter 5 and it drew my attention, the healing at the pool of Bethesda. It's one of three healings, miracles in the book of John, only three. And I was drawn to that chapter, something about the Jesus coming to this man who was blind, spitting on the ground, making clay, putting it on his eyes. And John's whole theme, if you know the book of John, is the picture of God's recreation of us, recreating us into his image. So the picture of clay in Genesis, and the clay in John chapter 5 caught my attention and put his on his eyes, and I knew that God was speaking to me. And as I meditated, once I got the scripture in Jeremiah chapter 18, and I started reading the first 6 verses, and it's a picture of Jeremiah being invited to walk to the potter's house. And they say, come walk to the potter's house. And as he got there, the Lord said, watch him. And Jeremiah was watching the potter creating the clay And the Lord said, tell Israel, tell my people that they are the clay, I am the maker of the clay. And whenever there's a glitch in the clay, I will take it out and heal it. And whenever there's a blotch, when there's a crack, I'm the one who fixes it. And I'm the one who's going to fix it. And obviously I was thinking about Paul using that scripture to say that we are jars of clay containing the glory of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But what I got in that text was beautifully was the fact that I recognized that my eyes need healing because I'm so self-critical. And probably you too. So self-critical. So fully aware of all your imperfections and all your flaws. And you take that into your relationship with God, your self-critical way, and when you get to the presence of God, the first thing that you tend to do, that we tend to do, is being so fully aware of my imperfections and therefore thinking that God does not love me, or that God, he loves me, but you know that song, from a distance, you know, he's not pleased with me. But the fact is that he fully enjoys you, he loves you, and when there's imperfections, the Bible says that God has compassion on you. Because he knows that you're clay. He knows you're dust. He's the one who's aware of your imperfections. And what the Lord did for me, and I can say this, it's a few months now already, I can say this, that God really did something for me to heal my eyes so that when I'm in his presence, I'm not focused on my imperfections, but I'm focused on his mercy, his goodness. And it's something the Lord has to do with us. You know, when Anthony... Heath, he didn't love Anna less because she has a broken kidney. I mean, she's imperfect. Huista. How can you love a kid with a broken kidney? Really? I mean, can't you just keep it together? What did he do? He took his own kidney and put it in his child to heal her. Every time you have communion, that's what you do. The Father loves you. And therefore he gave his son. So that every time we partake of communion, we recognize that God, I need your love. Your body was broken so that I can be healed. Your blood was shed so I can be cleansed. It's really the picture. Compassion. He looks at you with compassion, not frustration. He wants to save you from your sin. He is saving you. He loves you unconditionally. He sent his son to get you back. The second one is the Father's generosity. I'm not going to spend too much time here. But I can tell you that love is generous. When you love, I mean, from Nathan as well, it's his birthday coming up. And I'm always just surprised at how, you know, silly we sometimes get. Just to show love. How we, you know, we don't hold back when it comes to our own children. That we are generous. And that is the Father's love that comes through us. Just a generosity. God loves us with an unconditional love, generous. Matthew 7 says, it's a beautiful text. We're going to teach it to the kids on the camp this weekend. We're going to demonstrate it to them. But Matthew says, if your son asks for bread, would you give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will you throw him a serpent? If he asks for something else, would you throw him a scorpion? He said, no. Even you, even us who are being evil, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to our children who ask us. So he says, ask and God will give generously. Knock and he will open. This is beautiful. I love this picture of unconditional love that we saw in the life of Peter and Barzi. And it's more for me and Anthony. It's, God's love is absolutely unconditional. So what the Lord showed to me last year, I think I told you at one stage, I just want to remind you, this is a picture of a rainbow. For you sitting far away, I hold in my hand a picture of a rainbow, Exhibit A, just showing the judge, thank you. But it's a beautiful picture of God just helping me understand his unconditional covenant. It was during a stormy time, I think in September, went to drop the kids at school. As I got to school, it started raining again, but the sun broke through the clouds, so there was the most profound double rainbow as I just left the school driving the way to work. And I saw this picture. I'm going to keep it really short, the story. But eventually what happened was 3 days later, the Lord spoke to me clearly from Isaiah chapter 54, saying that even though the mountains move, the mountains shake and the hills be removed, my covenant of peace I will never take away from you. And he says, even as I gave a sign to Noah in the rainbow, I'm giving that sign to you that you will know forever that my covenant of peace, my covenant, my promise of your welfare will never, ever be taken away from you. It's a covenant. It's a bond. It's a security. It's a friendship that God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you. My love for you is secure. It's not based on your performance. That's especially the sign that God did show us in the new covenant. In this, the love of God is demonstrated in that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. So it's not based on your performance. It's based on God's goodness. It's a friendship that you receive or don't receive. It is a gift. The gift, the love of God is given. It's unconditional. It's a bond that is secure, even as Peter adopted Anthony to himself and saying, from now on, you are Anthony Mbaza. You are my son. You share my name, not based on your performance, but based on my goodness, says God. And the fact that his love is steadfast, constant, unchanging, unwavering, and unconditional. And then the last one there, and this is, I think, the ministry that I want to invite us into today, is the gift of God's delight. Sme moi. The gift of God's delight. As Judah's dad said, listen, the moment I held this boy in my arms, I had the greatest delight in him. I delight in him. I enjoy him. And I think this is the thing that just in the last 2 years that God showed me most securely or revealed to me most, is the fact that God's love, when God says he loves me, you get people that love dogs, and then you get people that delight in dogs, you know? We had this friend, actually. She was actually quite a model, literally, and a lawyer. But she was in one of our neighboring countries. She was a Miss Something of the country for a while. I don't want to expose her. She came to our house one day. We were still in Pretoria, and it was a rainy, rainy time, and we had 2 small dogs that we got. And it was rainy, so the dogs played outside in the mud. And she stopped with her grand car, came into our house just for coffee, walked down, and then the dogs came and jumped onto her in a nice lawyer suit, Gucci suit, you know, light-colored suit. And I thought, urchitz. She went down on the ground in the muddy grass. She sat, and those dogs loved all over her, and she loved all over the dogs. And I'm like, okay. She delights in dogs. She delights in dogs. She loves dogs. And that image stayed with me through the years. But even last year, in the last 2 years, I must say that the one thing that I really figured out is that God really enjoys me. When he says he loves me, he enjoys me. You know, we've got a Foundation 3 that we present in church, Encounter 3, that has about inner healing. And in it, there's a questionnaire just for yourself beforehand, just to sort of think through your life, you know, the moments, the formative moments. And there's one question that we ask for mom and for dad is, on a scale to 1 to 10, how did you receive love from your father? And that's a difficult question. I mean, even if you're an adult of 30 years old, whatever, and you answer that question, we are loyal. We don't want to say 0, you know? People always say, like, good, it's like a 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. And then you ask some questions afterwards, that just asks of your experience of the relationship, and then people will expose quite hurtful stuff. But they don't want to say, I didn't feel loved. And I figured out, and this is James Wilder actually helped me with this, that when we say, do I feel loved by God? Do I feel loved by my parent? Do I feel loved by my spouse? The question you want to ask is, does my parent delight in me? Did he or she seek me out because she enjoyed my company and she was interested, inquisitive about me? Did my parent come because the parent loved my company and had fun wherever I was? Did her face or his face light up when he or she sees me? Or was I a burden or a distraction to him or her? That's a beautiful question to ask, because that gets to the heart of, did I feel loved or did I not feel loved? It's not, did I have enough to eat? It's, that he or she seek me out because he or she sought my company. When we say God loves me, the Bible says God delights in his children, finds joy, finds you pleasurable, loves, seeks your company out because he or she is entertaining. Not she sees, or he, not that God just sees that you have enough to eat or that you have a feel safe. He really enjoys you. Over the last 2 years, just with a picture, this picture that I'm carrying around the whole time, is this old painting, 9th century Coptic painting found in the ruins of an old church. It's a picture of Jesus' arms, friendship, around his beloved disciple, the pastor of the church at that time, during a time of persecution. Beautiful. He seeks me out because he wants to be my friend. And that's the picture you find in the Bible from beginning to end, is that God came down to Adam and Eve because he enjoyed their company. He likes being with you. Not he tolerates you. Not he wants to keep you fed so that you can go off and you have your own life. He actually enjoys having you. And I want to ask you today, because we're going to sing that same prayer again now. Thank you. Bye, donkey Jean-Marie, donkey Renier. I want to ask you, do you feel that God delights in you? When last did you see or did you experience God smiling over you? I mean, that's the blessing that we're supposed to say every day to each other. That the Lord bless you, he keep you, he makes his face to shine upon you. That God delights in you. Do you feel that love? Do you feel that God enjoys you? Because that is the biblical truth. He doesn't enjoy you because you perform well. He enjoys you because you are his son. Just like Judah said, Judah's dad said, the moment that he was born and I held him in my arms, I just felt the greatest sense of delight because this God really enjoys me. This Father, I enjoy my Father. I want you to sit with that for a question. Don't you want to close your eyes? Can I ask Willem that you just dim the lights a little bit at the back? Father, I thank you that we can call you Father, just like Peter adopted Anthony because he needed a father. God, I thank you that you moved heaven and earth, God, that you moved heaven to earth, and that you gave your son to redeem us to yourself, God, because you delight in us, just like you wrote in Psalm 18, that the Lord delivered me because he delighted in me, because he enjoys me, because he wants to be with me, because he finds pleasure in me. I thank you that you are a God who finds pleasure in us, your children, who are created in your image. God, this world has marred our sense of self, Lord. Our eyes are self-critical. We're so full with fear and doubt and fear of rejection. But Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the Father, Spirit of adoption, I pray now in Jesus' name, just like Paul prayed. God, I bow my knees to the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. And I pray, God, like Paul prayed, that you will fill our hearts with your Spirit to give us strength to keep believing in Jesus. And I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you will make us aware, give us grace to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the breadth and the height and the length of the love of God that surpasses all understanding. Help us to know how you love us, God. In Jesus' name, help us to know how much you love us, God. Will you open our eyes to see your smiling face, your arms open for an embrace? Will you help to see that your face is shining upon us in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. As you sit with your eyes closed, let's just sing this prayer that your love never fails. Let's just sing this prayer again.
Never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me, your love. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
In there.